speaks, she declares, in a home county's accent so sharp you could cut glass with it. Pharaoh be praised. Pharaoh? Bollocks. She's an initiate. Inner circle, then, which means I am potentially in a tankerload of trouble. I try to clear my throat, but my head's throbbing and I still don't have full muscle control back. Ether is vile stuff, as Hunter Thompson noted.
Water.
Do you want some water? Her face is instantly concerned. I try to nod. She gets the message. Julian, fetch Mr. Howard some water. She doesn't look at Mr. Headless Shotgun as she issues the order. She's focusing on me with a strangely concerned look. We wouldn't want him to get dehydrated.
Yeah. Jonquil, should I fetch...
His hesitant question brings a smile to her face. Yes, a little aperitif would be good. Bring it. Aperitif? I clear my throat as Julian Headless Shotgun leaves through a door I can't see. Drinking before you take me to the All Highest? Isn't that a bit unwise? It's a calculated risk, but her pink court shoes are a bit less likely to do Mr. Kidney an injury than Julian's size 12 DMs. Oh, I'm not going to get drunk, she gives a little giggle. Mr. Blonde clears his throat.
You're the one who's going to be drunk.
Oh, do shut up, Gareth, Jonquil says tiredly.
I'm just trying to explain.
Yes, you're very trying. Her world-weary tone suggests to me that Mr. Blonde is definitely from the B-team, unlike Jonquil, who has proven frighteningly competent so far. Why don't you go through Mr. Howard's jacket pockets instead, in case he's carrying any nasty surprises for us?
Yes, Dark Mistress, I live only to obey.
I must be slow today, because it takes several seconds for the coin to drop. You're not vampires, are you? I ask, trying to stay calm. The prospect of falling into the clutches of the Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh is quite bad enough, without accidentally crossing the streams with a bunch of live-action Vampire the Masquerade fans, and you can never be too sure. Cultists aren't usually noted for their tight grip on reality. No, she giggles again. Vampires don't exist. We're just going to drink your blood and eat a teeny tiny bit of your flesh, silly. I can't help myself. I try and wriggle away from her. Which is fine as far as it goes, but as there's a wall about half a meter behind my back, I don't get very far. Why? I manage to ask, as Julian the blood-drinking shotgun-toting cultist reappears with a bottle of Perrier, a scalpel, and a pair of unpleasantly fat syringes. Transubstantiation. It's not just for Christians anymore. She sits on my back to stop me squirming away from Julian, then takes the scalpel and lays my left sleeve open from cuff to elbow. Be a good boy, and I'll let you have the water afterwards. This won't hurt much, if you don't struggle. She sticks me on the inside of the elbow with the first needle, and pokes around for a vein with expertise that is clearly born of much practice. I grit my teeth. Won't your All Highest take exception to you sampling the buffet? Mummy won't mind, she announces airily. Next tube, Julian, darling. She stabs me again, and this time there's a brief spark of searing pain as she nails a nerve. It was her idea, actually, she says confidingly. If your active service units find us and try to set up a gesh to immobilize everyone but you, the law of contagion will keep us moving.
Yeah,
echoes Gareth from the other side of the room, doing his dim-witted best to keep up with the program. I boggle slightly. Would it change your mind if I said I was HIV positive? She pauses for a moment, then points her nose in the air. No, she says dismissively. Mummy's seen your medical records, she'd have said. Don't tell lies, Mr. Howard. It will only get you into trouble. She passes the second syringe, turgid with purplish-red blood, up to Julian, then raises the scalpel. Now this will hurt, she announces, as she bends over me with a curiously intent expression. I swear for a few seconds. Then I give in and scream.